Daf Tess. So we left off with a question that the Braisa says, sometimes you're going to say Kriyat Shema twice during the day, which implies that before sunrise is daytime. And then we said that you're going to be Yotzei the day and the night's Kriyat Shema, which implies that before sunrise is nighttime. So we answered that really it's the daytime. But the reason we called it night is because people are still asleep before sunrise. And Rabbi Achim, Rabbi Chanina said in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi that the halacha, that this is the halacha like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in the name of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Zera says that you could do this, but you can't say Hashkivenu if you're going to say it at this time. Rabbi Yitzchak says that when we quote Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, this was not an explicit statement, but rather it was like an inference, that these two rabbis got very drunk at Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's son's wedding, and they wanted to say Kriyat Shema after dawn, so they went to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and he told them that you can follow Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but only in a Shas Adchak, in like a pressing time, more of like a Bidiyevit kind of thing. But still, that this was not explicitly saying that we hold like him, but he's implying that we can hold like him. So going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel's sons came to their father and they asked him if they could say Kriyat Shema and around dawn. And the Gemara asked, saying only now did they didn't know their father's halacha. They never heard Tati Psak. So we said that, what were they asking? They're saying, the Chachamim argue with you, and if they do, then we have to follow the Chachamim, because a Yachid versus a Rabbim, one versus many, we have to follow the Rabbim. Or do they agree with you, and they're just pushing the time back to Chatzos because they want to keep somebody from sinning? So Gamliel said, they agree with me that really they only say Chatzos to keep somebody from sinning, but the real time is until Alos, and therefore you're chayav to say Kriyat Shema. And then Rabbi Gamliel brings in other cases where we push the time back to Chatzos when really it should be until dawn. So why is he bringing in these other cases? So what the Mishnah is saying is, even the Chachamim who say that you have until Chatzos, they really mean you have until Alos, but they're just pushing it back to Chatzos to keep somebody from sinning. And then he brings in other times the Chachamim made the same ruling where they pushed it back to Chatzos. So the Gemara asks why the Karban Pesach is not on this list. Because we bring in a Braisa that says you could do the Karban Pesach and you can eat it until Alos. So Mishnah is going like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, and the Braisa that says you have until Alos for the Karban Pesach is going like Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah's opinion that we brought in this Braisa is that Belaila Hazeh, it says Belaila Hazeh about the Karban Pesach, and it says Belaila Hazeh about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So just like Yetzias Mitzrayim happened at Chatzos, therefore you can only eat the Karban Pesach until Chatzot. Rabbi Akiva says you eat the Karban Pesach b'chipazon, and b'chipazon means that you have until the time of chipazon, which was dawn. And Belaila that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah uses teaches that even though the other karbanos are eaten by day, that's just, we might have thought that just like other karbanos are eaten by day, so too maybe the Karban Pesach is eaten by day. Belaila teaches that it's eaten at night. And then we ask the question that Rabbi Elazar needs Hazeh by Belaila Hazeh for his Gzeirah Shava from Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Karban Pesach. So why does Rabbi Akiva need it? So we might have thought that other karbanos, they're 2 days and one night. So maybe the Karban Pesach is 2 nights and 1 day. Rather, Hazeh teaches only on this one night that you are allowed to eat it, not 2 nights and 1 day. And Rabbi Lazar learns this from Loto Tirat Boker. You can't leave it over until the morning. Rabbi Akiva says that if you use this pasuk of the morning, you might have thought that it's the second morning and you have 2 nights and 1 day. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, anytime it says Boker, it's talking about the first Boker. And this is the same as another machlokas that Rabbi Lazar says, Be'erev, meaning in the afternoon, you shech the animal. Kivo HaShemesh, at sunset, you start eating the Karban Pesach. And Moed Seischal Mimitzrayim, in the morning, you burn the leftovers. Meaning we learn from this that you would stop eating at Chatzos, because he argues with Rabbi Yoshua, who says that by Erev, you shecht it. Kivo HaShemesh, at sunset, you start eating it. And Moed Seischal Mimitzrayim, that you stop eating in the morning. And the fact that they're arguing implies that Rabbi Lazar says, you stop eating at Chatzos. And that's the same machlokas as Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Abba says that both Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva agree that the Geula started at night and that they only left during the day. So what are they arguing about? Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says that the Chipazon is talking about the Chipazon of the Mitzrim, which happened at night when they were trying to push Bnei Yisrael to leave. That happened at night with Makas Bechoros, so therefore you can only eat the Karban Pesach until then. Rabbi Akiva says the Chipazon is talking about Bnei Yisrael's when they actually left, which only happened until the morning, and therefore you can eat the Karban Pesach until then. We have a braisa that says that the pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael left at night. But what does this mean? We know they left at night in the morning. So really it says that they left at night because the geula started at night. So Hashem asked Moshe to speak to Bnei Yisrael, and when he was speaking to Moshe, he used the word na. Rabbi Yonai says, why does he use the word na? Na means please. So Hashem said, please Moshe, say to Bnei Yisrael to please request gold and silver from the Mitzrim. Why? because Hashem wanted Moshe to do this so that Avram wouldn't come to him and say, Hashem, we had two promises. One of them was that you would enslave Bnei Israel. You kept that, but you didn't keep the part about taking them out with a lot of wealth. Why didn't you do that? So therefore, Hashem told Moshe to go do this so that Avram wouldn't get upset at him. So Bnei Israel said, no, just take us out now. And it's just like a person who's in jail and he's told that he's going to be free tomorrow. And tomorrow he's going to be given a lot of money. But the person says, no, just take me out today. I don't want this money. So to Bnei Israel, just wanted to get out. They don't want all the gold and silver. Rabbi says that Bnei Israel got these gold and silver against their will. So whose will was it? Either it was against the will of the Mitzrayim, because obviously they didn't want to give up their possessions, or it was against the will of Bnei Israel, because it was an extra burden for them to carry all the stuff and go through the hassle of collecting all the stuff from them. Rabbi says that Bnei Israel turned Mitzrayim into a trap without grain. Rish Lakish says they turned it into a deep waters without fish, meaning they totally emptied it out. So Hashem told Moshe, I will be what I will be, however you want to translate that, but he said that to tell Bnei Israel that just like I'm with them now in this current subjugation, I'm going to be with them in all future subjugations. Moses said to Hashem, listen, like Bnei Israel, they have a lot going on their plate right now. Why do we have to start bothering them with the future struggles? They don't need to know about that. So Hashem said, fine, only say, that the God who has been with you up till now is the one that sent me. So why did Eliyahu say, Aneni Hashem Aneni? Why did he use the word Aneni twice? There were two things he was davening for. When he said the first Aneni, he was davening that the fire would come down and bring up the carbon that he was doing the whole test with the false prophets. And the second Aneni was that they wouldn't think that it's just witchcraft. So the next Mishnah. So when do we read the Kriyat Shema? In the morning. The Tanakhama says that you read it when you can distinguish between blue and white wool. Rebbe Elazar says when you can distinguish between blue and greenish blue wool, and you have until sunrise. Rebbe Yeshua says that until 3 hours in the day, because that's when the kings sleep. And you could say, and if you say it after 3 hours into the day, you still get rewarded for learning Torah, but not for Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara. So what does the blue and the white wool mean? If we're talking about a bundle of blue wool versus a bundle of white wool, then you can even distinguish that at night. So rather we're talking about a mix of blue and white wool in one bundle, and the earliest time you can say Kriyat Shema of the morning is when you can distinguish between the blue and the white wool that's in it. Rav Meir says, when can you say Kriyat Shema? When you can differentiate between a wolf and a dog. Rabbi Akiva says, when you can differentiate between a donkey and a wild donkey. And the Acherim say that when you can recognize your friend from four amos away. Rav Huna says that the halacha is like the Acherim who say from you can recognize your friend. Abaya says, no, we follow the Acherim for the earliest time for tefillin, and we follow the Vasikin for Kriyat Shema. And we know that the Vasikin, they would finish their Kriyat Shema at sunrise, and therefore they'd be davening Shmona Esrei at sunrise. Yossi ben Al-Yakum says, in the name of the Holy Congregation of Yushalayim, the Kal Kadosh of Yushalayim, that if you daven Vasikin, you won't be harmed at all during that day. Reb Zera says, I do that every day and I get harmed. And he says, no, what's your harm? You get harmed by having to pay a lot of money to bring myrtle to the king. But either way, you'd have to pay to see the king, because Reb Yochanan teaches you have to visit Jewish kings. Even you also have to visit the non-Jewish kings so that you can compare the honor of the non-Jewish kings to the greater honor that we'd show to the Jewish kings at the time of Mashiach. So therefore, either way, you would have had to pay the money to go visit the king. And that's not considered damage. Rav Allah said to Ula, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, can you say hi to my brother Rav Brona in public to give him a lot of kavod and respect, because he's like a big gadol, he's really a great tzaddik, and he loves doing mitzvot, because one time he davened Vasikin and he had a smile on his face the entire day. And then we asked the question, how can you be somech geula l'tefila? How can you connect Kriyat Shema to Shachris? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, to Shmon Esrei, Rabbi Yochanan says that you have to say Hashem Sevatai Tiftach and Yilu Ratzon Refi afterwards. So you're saying something between Shmon Esrei and between Shema and Shmon Esrei. So how are you connecting them? So we said, Rabbi Lezer says, okay, fine, so only do these things at Maariv. But Rabbi Yochanan himself says that you have to be somech geula l'tefila even at Maariv. So Rabbi Lezer says, fine, so do these things at Mincha. And therefore, you don't have a problem. But Rav Ashi says, no, you can even say to do them at all minyanim, and it's all considered one long tefillah, because otherwise we'd have a problem by Hashkivenu too. So rather, Hashkivenu is considered a long ge'ula, and therefore there's no problem. And so too, by Hashem Sevatai Tiftach, it's all considered a long tefillah. So therefore, we could say Hashem Sevatai Tiftach at all minyanim, and it's not considered a break between Shema and Shmona Esrei. So why was Yulah Ratzon instituted at the end of Shmona Esrei? It could work before, saying, Hashem, please accept the tefillos I'm about to say. So why did we only say it at the end? Because Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi says that David only said Yulah Ratzon Refi after 18 prakim of Tehillim. So therefore, we said it after 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei at the very end. We say after 18 prakos, really prakim, really, David said it after 19 Prakim of Tehillim. No, really, the first two are really considered one perek, so it's not two different ones, and therefore David said it only after 19 Prakim. Like Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rabbi Shimon ben Pazu says that after 103 Prakim, David finally said Haluka, because only then it talked about the downfall of sinners. We asked the same question. That's not 103 Prakim, that's 104th perek that he finally said the word Haluka. So we gave the same answer, that the first two prakim are really considered one. And Rabbi Yochanan says that any parak that David really liked, he started and he ended it with a pasuk that had asher in it, just like the first one. And when he says the first pasuk of the first one, it's using the first pasuk of the first parak and the last pasuk of the second parak, which shows that really the first two are all one. Shkeach.